something. And I think this is a good exercise for us to do. And again, don't, if you're newer here, and we've got people on various levels, I'm not talking to you, and so we're not, don't feel bad or put out or in any way like you're handicapped here. But there comes a time when I need to address those who have come along, and as a properly educated and edified son and daughter at this point in Romans, another technique in studying the Bible, if you come across a passage like this, and let's say you're just reading through it, and you came down to this and you're following along fairly good, and then you got to, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I'm glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." And you sit there and you say, "Huh, I wonder what that means. Wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." I may have mentioned this before, but one of the techniques that whenever you come across a passage, if something isn't explained right there, in other words, if a word or a concept or a phrase or something isn't explained, and a good example for where things are explained would be like back in Romans 6 when Paul talks about being crucified with Christ, and he goes into explaining that. Or in Romans 4, the whole chapter of Romans 4 is an analysis, a deep analysis of saving faith. What is saving faith? What is it that God, there are two particular aspects of faith that saves you, and Paul deals with them. That's an analysis. If you come across a passage like this where no explanation is given of what good is or evil is, that's a great indication to you that something has already been said about that before I ever got here. It lets you know, it's a red flag, and lets you know if this is not being explained to me, I am expected by my Father to already know what it means by this point. You see, folks, that addresses an issue that we talk about in this church that the Bible has that most pastors in most churches haven't got a clue. And these guys have been through seminary. And if you asked them this question, they'd all say yes to it, but they don't know what they're saying. If you ask them the question, "Does the Bible have sense and sequence?" Well, they'd say, "Yes, of course it does." You wouldn't say it's nonsense, it doesn't make sense. Of course it makes sense. And sequence, well, it's got verses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's not what I mean. I mean that the Bible was placed, every book, all 66 books, are in a particular order in which God expects you to know them. That's the sequence. Even within books of the Bible, like the book of Romans, that prevents you from topical preaching. Topical preaching does nothing, nothing. Bouncing around, having a sermon in Mark one Sunday and then a sermon out of the Revelation another Sunday, that does nothing. Now, that I'm not saying you can't go and run verses through the Bible. We do that a lot. But you've got to be able to understand the Bible is in an order. God ordered it. It's a book. And He knows how to write books. He's the best at it. Every book is placed where it needs to be. Every book expects you to know what was in the book before it. And even within the books, the bodies of information are in a particular order in which you're expected to know what comes first. By the way, that was one of the most wonderful, glorious days of my life. I went running around my study going, "Yeah," I was like that kid in that Christmas show, "I'm free, I'm free, I'm free." Because I always was taught, that's my job. My job is to figure out what to teach first and then what to teach next and all these kinds of things. And most teaching in most churches is done to make money. Most teaching is done to get the more people there. If people are slacking off, okay, we're going to have marriage and divorce sermons, or we're going to have prophecy sermons, we're going to talk about the beast and 666 and all, and people start coming and they bring their wallets back. So there's a way, there's other things going on there than you realize. What I'm talking about is following the Bible in its sense and sequence. So when you get to passages where you might scratch your head and say, it's almost as if I'm supposed to already know what this means. Guess what? It probably means you're already supposed to know what this means. And this is one of those places. So don't be upset if you don't know because you haven't gone through that material yet. It's all there. You can get it. But when he says, I'm glad, therefore, because of your obedience coming abroad unto all men, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. In that context, and please, for those who I spilled the beans to, let's wait, but give people a chance. In that context, what is good that you are to be skilled at and a professional experience in its use? What is good in that context? And you're right. That's good. Yeah. Well, that's good too, because it can be said a little bit different than that. But you are right. She said, if you didn't hear it, she said the gospel of Christ, right? And that's what we oftentimes, I put up here, you're referring to this? Yeah, that's the gospel of Christ. There's 12 parts to that gospel of Christ in the book of Romans. And what led you to that? I was hoping you'd say, the context. Let me do one other thing to help you. And I think it can be said, I'm not saying it could be said better, but it is a general term. So there is some wiggle room as far as under, but you're on the tin ring. Because this is what, going back to this particular chart, what all of this is setting in, the context that every verse from verse 17 to the end of the chapter is setting in, has to do with what? My Father ensuring my sound foundational establishment remains that way even under the effects of the policy of evil attacking the message. Don't get away from that context. So in that sense, again, Mary rightly said, I would have you wise, I would have you as a skilled professional expert in the gospel of Christ contained in Romans as it was given to you. That's bullseye. Can it be said another way that's just as accurate? All right, that's good. And that's, I like your thinking, because you've got to get into the trench, and I don't mean that in a bad sense, but it's the only word that jumps to mind, the trench of the context, and stay in that trench. And that trench of context is that we're being attacked, right? We're to expect an attack. We're to expect the message to be attacked. And what you're saying is, I would have you a skilled expert in the proper building materials. Yeah, when you listen to anybody trying to teach the Bible or teaching you the Bible, you're an expert. Yeah, you should be able, all of you should be able to walk into any, and don't do this, by the way, don't do this. You'd be an idiot if you did this. But you should be able to walk into any church, sit down, and in a regular church service in just a few minutes, you should be able to detect whether or not what is going on there is probably